The next stop is
Madison Square Garden.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Welcome to STK Surviving the Knicks. We're back from Thanksgiving. Give it up for the fellas. Give it up for my people. What's going on, y'all? All right. Hope y'all good
up.
Hope y'all hope everybody's good out there. Up, hope y'all all had a great Thanksgiving.
STK.
Tonight we're missing Wall Street. He's down with the flu.
Feel better, my brother.
We're gonna miss you tonight, but definitely gonna hold it down in your absence. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, how you guys doing? What's going on? Ed Dollars, Coach B, what's going on, y'all?
I'm chilling, man. I had a great Thanksgiving. You know, we had a great time. I had like 30 people in my house, everybody eating it up. I was cooking up a storm. I passed out by 7 o'clock. It was a good time, man. You know. And then in that span, the Knicks were killing it, man. Too bad they lost to the Suns. They should have beat the Suns without Durant and Beal, but that would have been the best Thanksgiving if they beat the Suns.
I didn't want to do this to you, bro. You see, y'all talk to me. I don't say nothing. I keep it very calm and cool. Knicks fans want to be abusive. Okay, all right. Coach, how you doing?
Same quiet Thanksgiving, keeping busy with work and stuff. Basketball season is upon us, you know. Coach is
right, that's thing. Right, man.
Shout out to all the athletes starting their season, you know, preseason games, preseason tournaments, so on and so forth. Hope everybody's starting off strong and in great shape. No one get hurt, man. Stay healthy.
Yeah. If you're a basketball fan, you gotta love November because high school, college, the midnight madness. Celebrations, all those things. People get upset already. Duke got upset the other day. Kentucky's doing their thing right now. You got all the mid-majors doing their thing. You got Carmelo's son. He just started his junior year. He's looking good, man.
He looks good.
You know, like there's a lot you gotta look.
He's just like Carmelo too. Like he's like not fast but swift. You know, like quick,
calculated.
Definitely.
All right. So let's get into it. So, fellas, you know, unfortunately, we're going to miss the Wall Street rant tonight.
Damn.
No.
My favorite segment.
But I will say this. Tonight, I got my hot cocoa. I got my coquito for my Latin people out there. You know what coquito is. And I got water. Right? However you answer is what I'm going to be drinking. So if your answer is on point, I'm probably going to be drinking some coquito. If your answer is like, then I'm going to drink some water. Unless I'm just really thirsty because I haven't been really dehydrated too well because I just be home. I'm on parental leave. So I probably should be drinking water anyway. But either way, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully I finish this coquito in the next 15 minutes. But fellas, and I guess we'll start with you. Right, Knicks went in the last 2 weeks because we had the last time we spoke was right before Thanksgiving. I believe our last show was on the 18th and the 19th, excuse me. And
yeah, the Knicks were killing it. They were 7-3 in that span.
Yeah,
they won in those 10 games. They won 7.
Yeah,
they lost 3. They lost to the Suns, you know.
Well, no, the last 2 weeks were 4-2, right? So the week that week they went 1-2, and then last week was 3-0. So 4-2 in total the last 2 weeks. We're at 12-7 right now.
That's right.
With losses to Minnesota and the Suns, which I don't know what happened in Minnesota because I thought that was a very winnable game. And Phoenix is weird. Like I think people tend to just you see what Phoenix rolls out, and you're like, oh, this is gonna be who are these guys? And we don't, they're not playing stars simultaneously. Like everybody, you know, it's almost like Booker's in, KD's out, Beal's just has not been playing at all. So, you know, it's weird with the Suns. With that being said, going 4-2, 12-7, and they're in the tournament, right?
Yeah, we're in the play-in, baby.
Yeah.
So we're going to play in the wild card. We actually play tomorrow against the Bucks. And if we win that game in the quarterfinals, we'll be in the semifinals in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And in order to get into the play-in, if everyone knows, right, because we're all Knicks fans, they had to bust up the Hornets by like 20-something points because in the play-in, point differential matters. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I like that. That means that, you know, you couldn't like, you know, like hang it up and not care. You had to care. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't beat the Hornets by 20-something, we would have been out. Yep. And some other team that was well-deserving would have been in.
Joe Mazzulla got in trouble with the Celtics because they were doing the hack of Draymond. The Bulls coach was stunned. Like, number one, shame on him for not understanding the play, the in-season tournament rules. Got to know your job, right?
Yep.
So he's curious. I remember I was watching it. He's like, what the hell is going on? Why are they filing with all this time? And he actually approached him. He's like, no, we got to win by a certain amount of points. He told Joe, I give credit to Joe, the coach of the Celtics. He told him to his face, no, we got to win by a certain amount of points.
Yep.
So this is what we're doing.
And sorry.
He had to eat.
Stop us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And the coach for the Hornets is actually a good buddy of Tibbs. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he knew what was going in. He actually took once it was over, he took out his starters and left the bench guys. He left the Randall and those guys. And you know, and the coach wasn't bothered by it one bit. And I love it. Yo, the Knicks are playing well, right? The Knicks are playing well. You know, the last time we spoke, I kind of gave you a synopsis of what the Knicks are. Mm-hmm. They're bad, they're okay offensively. And great defensively, and that hasn't changed, right? Through 19 games, they average 110 points, which is 24th in the league, and they average 23.1 assists, which is 28th in the league. Oh. But on defense, rebounding, they average 46.6, and they're fourth in the league, and points out of from the opposing team, they're at 105.5, which is first in the league. So their net rating is 5.8. Right. So, you know, we score a little bit more than they score. And our offense is kind of stagnant. We rely too much on a one-on-one, not many assists. And that's why we don't have that many points. But we beat you to death on defense. That's a good team. Yeah. And we have problems when we face really, really good teams like the Timberwolves, like the Suns. They didn't have Kevin Durant, but they had Booker, and Booker didn't have a good first half, and then he went off in the second half. Sometimes we played down to our competition. We had a team, we played the Pistons. We beat the Pistons, but for that entire game, it was a real game instead of like really clamping down.
Yeah.
The good thing that happened in the last 2 weeks is that Randall and Brunson started playing ball together, right? They're back to their norms. RJ kind of regressed back to the mean a little bit. He's clearly the third option. Quick is coming in, coming out. DiVincenzo's playing well. I mean, he's knocking down his shots.
Yeah, like,
he's
adding a little bit of more
flair to that position. Unfortunately, Grimes, as we spoke about last week and the last time, you know, he's going through the sophomore slump, man. You know, we may have to replace him in the lineup. I'm not saying that for like right now. I'm just saying if he continues, we may have to replace him. But the Knicks are playing well. They're playing good ball. I want to see how they play tomorrow against the Bucks, and I want them to take it to them and try to get to Vegas. Cheers.
Coach, your thoughts?
I like the Miami win. Other than that, it's like, yo, we're beating the team
they're supposed to be. They were getting smoked in that game, bro. They came back.
I guess beating the teams you're supposed to be is okay, but I think it's not enough. Like we need a marquee win. This Bucks game, if we could take this one, and you know, it would say a lot more than the games that we won. Losing to Minnesota, I think they were 9-3 at the time. That was rough. Like, stop beating up on the teams in the bottom league. Yes, you're supposed to. So get those wins. Like, get the marquee one. You know, get one that matters. Get one that says like, oh, this got a playoff kind of feel to it, and we're taking care of business. The Suns game got away from us. Like, shit. Like, that one sucked.
That was a weird game.
Yeah, like that was a weird game. And then just Book, the way he got open was whatever. But definitely taking care of business and, you know, winning a game that we're quote unquote not supposed to win will say a lot more for me. The record is solid, but not great. So like the Knicks are like the Knicks from last year and the year before. Like, let's step up.
Yeah. I think that winning the games you should win is like last year's step. This year's step should be being more competitive amongst the elite teams. Minnesota was a winnable game. I just don't know whether it was the trip. When I look at rosters, the Knicks come at you potentially 9-10 deep, right? They don't have a standout star, but it's like Legion. It's like we are Legion. Like they have a cast of players that you should be able to wear teams down. I think they haven't figured that out yet. I think, as Ed pointed out, DiVincenzo played really well. I think he had 5 threes. He was wide open too. Like,
he's balling now.
Teams are not respecting the three, and he's making them pay for it. Quickly's doing well. I think, you know, Grimes. I think the ankle injuries kind of set him back. Took him out of his rhythm a little bit. The Minnesota game, I thought, was definitely winnable. Phoenix, like I said, like when you're playing a team like that, Phoenix is a different team this year. They're a lot more scrappier, and the Knicks play down to that. That's why I'm looking at the game, I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't gonna end well. And then that last possession with Booker, to me, I thought Booker shot a bad shot, but shout out to Booker, means my guy. But I thought that was a bad shot, but it
very poor defense by Randall in that last possession. You just saw it. Like, RJ did what he was supposed to do. He contained him. And he needed the help. Yep. And Randall has to step up. Yep. Randall, he's shooting. Randall puts his hand well after that. That was terrible.
Where's Wall Street for that part? Because, terrible defense. Got the switch this time. And he just played dead. Like,
and RJ was balling. RJ was really, balling on him at that point in time. He pushed him. He pushed him to the right. And that's where he needed the help from Randall. Randall's there.
Yeah.
There's no reason why he got that shot off so cleanly.
He shouldn't have. He shouldn't have.
Not at all, man.
And it wasn't a good shot. It's a fadeaway.
That's the 2K leaner, man.
Like,
if you play my team, you see.
Looking at it, and I'm just like, oh, God. Like, even
Booker's nice, man. Booker.
He's the best guard. He's the best two guard in the league right now.
He's the best two guard in the league, and from on a go forward basis, he's nice. I love Booker.
He balls in every game, man.
He got mad confidence too. His confidence is
minus. Yo, if the league was based on
confidence, he'd be the number one player in the league.
Like, mind you, them losing to Toronto, that was like his first real bad game because Toronto was just really physical, and. We talk about that, right? Like, Toronto tried to muscle the Knicks. Didn't work. Because bodies and, it's just the matchups. It's part of the season. But I think 12-7 is a good start.
Yeah.
You know?
And the difference in the last couple of weeks, I said Randall, came back in his game. But Brunson's been really balling out. Mm-hmm. Brunson has been taking it back to the all-star Brunson. And honestly, in the last week or so, he's unguardable. They can't guard him.
He's tough.
But,
okay,
generally speaking, we shouldn't need all-star Brunson to win these games. And I felt like, we needed that to win some of these games, especially the Pistons game. I didn't like the way we played against the Pistons. We let them play with us. They're killing us. Their backup reserve guard was killing us. Yeah. But Brunson had 30-something points, and they were just still in it. You know what I'm saying? It was weird.
It was like the Washington game.
Yeah.
Washington game, the facilitator. Like, you look at the score, the final score, and it really doesn't tell the full measure of the game. Because I was watching the Detroit game, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this game should have been over by the end of the third. And, when you let teams hang around, they gain confidence and they can pull it out. But, that's the thing now, right? All-star Brunson, do you guys think that's a real thing?
It has to be.
Yeah. He's an all-star. I think he is an all-star.
I mean, going back to
Hawks, he's out playing Trey from Atlanta is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. he's not playing the way he usually plays. So if that was a spot, that's his spot. That's Brunson's spot now.
Well, coaches are choosing the bench. Now, again, it's no longer the draft anymore. So it's coaches. So I think if you got coaches choosing, then I think Brunson definitely makes it. I don't know how he does it, you know?
Well, bottom line is no other Nick will. Like, Randall has regressed. You know, RJ's obviously the third option. You know, Brunson is playing at the biggest stage, putting up 30, being unguardable, like really killing it. Yeah.
Randall's still having a 20-win.
Yeah, but, you know, he's Brunson does have some flaws in his game. And some of his flaws are really pertinent. You know, and the biggest flaw for his stature of a player is the assists. You know, averages.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So in the last, the Knicks are 12-7 right now, right? And Jalen Brunson is leading the Knicks. Well, he in 63% of their games, he's leading the Knicks in scoring, right? In losses, in wins rather, they're 7-5 when he's the leading scorer. In the seven wins, he's averaging 29.7, but it's basically.
No, I get your point.
Yeah.
Your point
is basically. In the losses, he's averaging 31.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of talks to what you're saying in terms of the assists. Is him leading the team in scoring a good thing for the Knicks going forward, or does that need to change?
All right. So check it. Everybody knows from this podcast, if you listen to this podcast, everybody knows that I play Sunday basketball in Tarrytown, New York, right? I'm 48 years old.
Pull up.
I'm trying to relive my glory years and break some ankles and shoot as many shots as possible. When there's a point guard that's like 20, I'm a 48-year-old man with two kids, a wife, you know, I'm trying to like escape from my world. When I go to the court and there's like a 28-year-old guy that he's seemingly the point guard and he's taking all the shots and he wants the ball all the time. You think I stand for that kind of stuff? What do you think really happens? So now I'm looking at the Knicks. You know, Brunson averages 5.5 assists per game. His utilization is plus 30. That means that he has the ball all the time. 5.5 assists is 25th in the league. 24th is Julius Randle, by the way. So Julius and Brunson are 24th and 25th in the league. We are 28th in assists. Yo, the point guard that has the ball in his hands, holding the ball all the time, got to make your team better. You can't go for yours in the first quarter. You got to go for yours in the third and the fourth quarter. You got to set up your teammates. And sometimes, a lot of times, Brunson goes for his. You know, there was a period of time where, I forgot the game, but there was a period of time where Brunson wasn't, like, efficient. And then there was a game where he just, like, was, you know, he scored, like, 20 points in the first half, but he took almost all the shots. And the team was really close against the opposing team, meaning the teammates were annoyed at him. They weren't rebounding. They weren't setting screens. You know why? Because you got to get everybody involved, man. You don't get people involved. The ball's not energetic. The ball's not flowing around. Brunson's a 6-foot point guard. He has to improve his playmaking, because if he's just shooting, and he's great. I love him. I think he's the best we've had since I've been a Knicks fan. You know what I'm saying? Other than John Starks. You know what I'm saying? I love his point guard play as a lead scoring guard. But you got to make sure that everybody eats, and then you eat the most. You eat the most pie. But before that, make sure you pass out the plates. And he's not doing that. He's not assisting Mitch a lot.
You're right.
He's not getting Randall involved on cuts, on pick and rolls.
Tag me in.
Frustrated. It's a problem.
Okay.
Go ahead, coach.
Yeah, coach.
And, you coach, right? You coach.
I'm coach, man. I'm coach. All
right. So if that kid, right, is not passing the ball, what do you do?
Scoring.
No. If that kid, right, you the coach, you that kid's not passing the ball, what do you do?
You got to bench him. You got to talk.
Or draw up a play. Yep. Right?
Mm.
So if there's not that communication of, listen, you're missing this guy, between not just Tibbs, the entire coaching staff, right? The players on the team, no one's saying, yo, you missed me here. Yo, I was open here. I could have, you know, you could have done.
Coach, the difference no one's
saying
the worst thing, you know, on the Sunday touchdown game.
I do not care.
The worst thing that can happen is when the guy with the ball makes all the shots, you're like,
you cannot change a Tiger's stripes. The boy is shooting 46% from the floor. He's shooting 47% from three. And you want him to what? Get an extra assist? How about you put somebody else in there that can share the ball? Oh, management didn't bring anybody in that could do that. Instead, they brought in Dante DiVincenzo, right? Grimes, RJ in the starting lineup. Julius Randle, 5.5 assists. They can
share.
They're
not making shots.
They can share.
They're not making shots.
If I'm not missing, right? If
when
I'm
you're
not missing,
the lead guard,
why do I deserve to? Why do I have to quote unquote pass the ball? You didn't bring me in to bring it to be a traditional point guard. Tibbs is not a traditional coach. He doesn't coach offense in that way. You got to let the boy go. If you want somebody to facilitate,
you know what Tibbs wants
somebody to facilitate.
You're right, coach.
That
means
it's his business.
What are the results? The results are that we're 28th in offense. That's the results. And by the way,
he got 30 of those.
We're not number one in defense because of Brunson.
Right.
Not because of Brunson.
It's because everybody else.
Because of the other guys. So we're 28th in offense.
So you do your job. I'm gonna do my job.
And
you get the stops. I put the shots up. You get the stops. I put the shots up. And I'm efficient. 46.7%. 47% from three.
And I will say, Brunson isn't the brunt of the offensive woes for the Knicks. If you look at the possessions, there's coaching issues as well. Like, especially the first two quarters that I always noticed.
Just to correct you, I'm not saying that Brunson is a problem.
No, Brunson
is efficient. I'm saying in the overall scope of an offense, if your lead guard is the one that is scoring all the points and not passing at all,
don't ask him to pass.
It will eventually lead to issues.
There's a lot of dead possessions where he has to chuck a shot. Like, you've seen those possessions. We text each other like, yo.
That's when he passed the ball and that other guy's chucking a shot. That's when he passed the ball and then the other guy chucks a shot.
No, thanks.
Chucking shots.
I'd rather he shoot it.
I agree, honestly. Listen, you trust the hand.
For real, coach, you rather Brunson take all the shots and not get everyone involved?
I want to go on record, right? As a three-level scorer, right? Taking contact, being under control, setting his feet. He's probably one of the best players in the league off playing off 2 feet. And you already know that's the best way to get a balanced shot. So why not? Like, his footwork, amazing. His gather and separation is like next level compared to these guys. Grimes looks like he could do it, but it doesn't lead to success. RJ,
I agree with you. I'm not saying anything about Brunson. I like the way he plays. I think strategically he has to change his approach. I think in the first half he has to get people involved, and then the second half he has to attack. You are correct.
It's not.
He can't do that from the opening tip. It doesn't work.
I want to go deeper, but you know, I'm gonna let Jess Huck ask his follow-up questions because, like
nah, go deep, yo, go bags. Deep, go
deep. This bags, like
deep throat it, yo.
Whoa, take it easy. Whoa. Hey, pause to myself. Any yo,
what's going on? What's going on?
Yo,
sorry,
oh man, so,
this is a
family
show.
About it.
This is a family show.
Anyway. Let's talk about it, right? You have all these guards that want to put up shots on the perimeter, right? Quickly. We compare Quickly to Maxey a lot. Quickly should have more room to go. But because, right, they brought in Brunson, they brought in DiVincenzo, it seems like he's doing great, like he's managing it well, but he has more to offer if he had better players around him. Your point guard doesn't, or your facilitator doesn't always have to be your point guard. Draymond Green, textbook example of, you know, being the facilitator in his prime for Curry to do what he does. We can create something like that if Julius Randle was a little bit more calm, but he still does a good job with it. He's averaging 20, 10, and 5.
So we don't really have a playmaker because Julius Randle is 20, 10, and 5, unfortunately, at a ridiculously high utilization rate. which means that he's holding on to the ball and searching for assists. Like he's only passing it when he knows it's an assist. That's not a good playmaker. Brunson is not a playmaker. He's going for his.
That means we don't have a playmaker. Think about John Stockton. Think about Steve Nash. Think about Chris Paul. They held the ball a lot, right? Mm-hmm. They held the ball a lot. But yes, they made it look different, but it's very similar stuff. John Stockton ran the pick and roll freaking.
John Stockton did not hold that ball as often as Brunson holds the ball.
But no one else was creating off the dribble, right? He had freaking Brian Russell, like spot up guys. Like Howard Isaac, like he had spot up guys.
Different era though, but they averaged like 90 points a game. We're averaging 105 points a game.
And you
I think it still talks to the level that's around them though. And I think that's the issue with the Knicks. Number one, when we talk about a leopard changing his stripes, Jalen Brunson, since he's been in the league, has not been the type of player to set the table, right? He didn't do it in Dallas. He was a shooter. He comes to New York. I mean, that's what's made him successful. He's almost an all-star based on playing like that. He's going to be an all-star this year based on playing like that. Their offense doesn't look – and I don't think it's fair to blame players. I think, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but we don't talk about coaching. And Ed, you've said this yourself. When we watch the games, their offense looks simple. And so when you got NBA level coaches and scouts looking at the Knicks, you don't think they can read how the play is going to break down and okay, this is what you got to do? When you watch the Knicks, it must be really short film sessions because it's easy to just simple. You load up the left side with shooters and you crowd the middle, right? So that they can't drive. I mean,
They're shooting a lot more threes than ever. It ain't gonna be that easy to get an assist if the guy doesn't make the three. Now it's like maybe I am passing the ball. He just didn't knock down the shot, which is very likely because Quentin Grimes is again not playing as well as he should. And then DiVincenzo and Quickly played together, so Brunson's not really getting an opportunity to kick it to them where they can like catch and shoot. And RJ has been.
But to Ed's statement too, I haven't really seen him try to set up. Like I think he gives up too quick.
I think he goes a little bit too fast.
By the time he gets the ball over half, it's probably like 18 seconds left on the shot clock. 18 ain't enough time.
Can we flourish with this offense? And we're only flourishing with this offense because our defense is so strong. But if like Mitch is going to get tired, you got to set up more pick and rolls with Mitch, because if I'm Mitch, I'm like, yo, this is fucking bullshit. Like set up a pick and roll. Let me get mine. Mitch should be averaging 15, 16 points a game. Legitly. He doesn't. And it's because the people that are playmaking are not trying to do a pick and roll. It's all ISOs.
But Mitch is one of the elite rim runners in the league, though.
We don't use him at all.
He doesn't even have to have a post game. All you got to do is have him pick and roll. But again, I think it's coaching, right? Like, I don't think – they don't even look sophisticated enough to run a pick and roll offense. Like, a lot of times it's – and you know, maybe it's some behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, I read the post, you know, and there's stuff talking about, like, there's factions in the locker room, and, you know, there's RJ – I mean, no, not RJ. Well, there's Julius versus the Villanova crew, and they got people in the middle trying to figure out – I don't know if that's the case in this, but the offense doesn't look fluid. Right. And Ed, you're right. It's the defense. They get gritty when they need to. Need to slow people up. But I don't know. I was thinking to myself, yo, is this a healthy offense that's gonna get them past the second round? That's gonna get them good playoff position.
No, because they're gonna strategize those good teams are gonna strategize and take the ball out of both Brunson and Randall's hands, then what?
Then quickly, finally has his day. Then DiVincenzo hopefully continues his high streak. Then
doubtful, but maybe.
RJ, right? Then RJ goes back to the RJ of the first five games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is, you know, we already know what's going to happen at the end of the season. They're going to get knocked out in the second round. I mean, we said that from the get-go. They're not going to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks are a second-round knockout team because of the coaching and everything you said. We have definitely pieces, but we have to build upon it. Now, if we make a change with, like, you know, a big trade, that's a different thing. But as presently constructed, we're good. We're good. We're just not great. We're going to beat the bad teams. We may lose to the good teams. We may give the good teams fights, but we'll lose to the great teams. You know what I'm saying?
Great teams being, you know, Boston, Milwaukee.
I'm cool with it for now because we didn't have these experiences in the past.
Yeah, very true. When we first started this podcast, the first game that we talked about, they got smacked by Indiana, who was equally as bad. Right? They were horrible. They didn't have Haliburton yet. They still had Domas. You know, they were bad, and we lost to them by like 20.
By the way, how good would the Knicks be if they drafted Haliburton instead of Obi Toppin?
I remember us talking about
Haliburton. I love Brunson. Brunson, yeah. Haliburton could be the MVP of the league this year.
Haliburton only got drafted as low as he did because he hurt his knee in college.
Yeah.
But he was a top four pick the whole year until he hurt his knee.
We made a tragic mistake. That's a bad. I mean, again, we got Brunson, it's all good, but we could have got bigger wings. The whole team would be totally different if we had Haliburton.
We wouldn't be talking about a bad offense, probably.
And by the way, Haliburton leads. He not only averages like 20-something points a game, but he averages 11 assists per game. He's the most efficient player in the league.
He's a fantasy star.
If you're counting fantasy stats, he's one of the best fantasy players you could possibly get.
I hate you every time I look at your stat sheet, Ed. Every time you're like, damn.
But and by the way, for those that are looking at the Pacer games, Obi's playing well too.
He has been playing.
Free Obi.
Here we go. Hey, you gotta stop. You know, coach is doing well. We don't need him to start looking up Obi again. So, coach, I had a question because you were touching up on you were talking about quickly, and as we all know, he has not been signed long term. I think he's going to the market. Is he a full free agent or is he a restricted free agent?
I think he's a full free agent.
Right. So they signed to his extension. Yep. Yeah, he went into restricted free agency status last year.
Yep.
They let him they gave him the tender, but they didn't give him an extension. So now he goes to the market this summer as a full free agent. Do you think the Knicks kind of messed up? Do you think the Knicks will regret letting him go to the market this year?
No.
Now, considering this, there was some information that recently got leaked, probably on purpose, but people were saying that Quickley's team, that they didn't give a full number, but they were saying that the Knicks and Quickley was short like $10 million. Like they couldn't come to a ground. They were short. The Knicks wouldn't give him the $10 million more that he wanted, which probably means maybe 60, 70 million, who knows, right? Or whatever.
So from his talent base, like he'll be able to thrive somewhere else. But again, very similar. We've had this conversation before about having a small backcourt long term. The Donovan Mitchell idea, like we don't want to have two guys 6'3" and under, 6'2" and under, like in the backcourt together. So for him to come off the bench and like have his career come off the bench, I think he has more to offer. Definitely, he gets to it pretty well. Comparison to Lou Williams, but I see a lot of CJ McCollum also. So it's like, you know, he can thrive if given a starting role. So our roster is not made up for him to take over. We just paid Brunson. Brunson's playing well. Brunson's all-star caliber player. So if they could trade him.
There's room to pay him, though. There's like, room to pay him. I don't know. Is it financial or is it strictly looking at his talent that you don't want to give him the bag?
I think between management and the way Tibbs wants to run his team, I don't think he's going to let two small guards play together. Tibbs, like, had Kurt Heinrich and Ben Gordon back in Chicago, and, like, that was, like, Heinrich was, like, 6'4", 6'5", so it made up for the difference. Like, we don't got that right now. So he definitely wants a taller guard on the, you know, wing guys or the second guard guys, not just two small guards. So
you don't need him as a six man, a different system, maybe,
like, for what the Knicks want to do, like, it's peace.
And you're not gonna pay someone.
Tyrese Maxey's like how he's thriving right now.
Tyrese Maxey.
They're friends. They're boys. They're like best friends.
Yeah. So Quickley's looking for that opportunity.
Yep. You know, there's no way you're gonna pay. There's no way you're gonna pay.
But he's not as good as Maxey.
$120 million to come off the bench.
No.
There's not one bench player in the league that makes $120 million.
Lou Williams
right now. That's what Quickley's gonna get. He's going to get about $120 million, and he ain't going to get that from the Knicks, unfortunately. And I think I would have signed him for whatever he wanted and then traded him for another asset. But it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, paying a person $120 or $100 and coming off the bench. And he's not even getting more minutes than Josh Hart.
No.
DiVincenzo is getting the same amount of minutes as Quickley, which is ridiculous. I like DiVincenzo. He ain't better than Quickley. And I feel like the management's doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
they know that they're gonna get rid of Quickley.
You know, you gotta play your role. And it's extremely annoying because again, this guy's a shot maker. You know, he shoots it well, and there's just not enough room for him to grow.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see him as your starter though. I see him as like your sixth man, and I think he thrives in that role. I think he's
in today's NBA. He can start.
Yeah, he can start. He's like Maxey.
So
he's the same way.
Maxey's another level.
Maxey's nice.
Yeah, Maxey is.
Yeah, because there's nobody in his way. Ben Simmons gone. James Harden gone. You know,
but he also learned from those guys too.
Yeah,
like he also Quickley didn't have a James Harden. Like for all the headaches, James Harden is an elite talent.
Yeah,
Quick will probably go to like Utah or somewhere like that. Like, you know, a place where they don't have any real guards right now and flourish. And he'll get paid his money and he'll do well. He'll start and then maybe get relegated back to the bench after a year or two. You know what I'm saying? But the payroll situation in the NBA is ridiculous. Like, maybe bench players will start getting $120 million. Maybe that is the market. We don't really know because TV contracts are coming up. The entire revenue stream is increasing. All the salaries are going to be ridiculous. We're going to be hearing $50, $60, $70 million contracts. It's very possible that Quick's market bench placement is $120 million. And we're the biggest markets in the NBA. We're the most valuable franchise. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should pay him. I don't know.
Especially with Amazon and Apple joining the fray in terms of the TV dollars. TNT practically begged Charles Barkley not to retire because they needed to use him in negotiations for their NBA show. And it's just to say, like, you know, once you have powerhouses like Amazon and Apple, The numbers are going to be ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just going to be, Ed, you're right. Like, they're already talking about, you know, like $80 to $100 billion estimates for in this bidding war coming up. And so when you talk about that, $100 billion, you know, you're talking about cap room right now. What's the cap at? Like 136? Easily the cap could shoot up to like 150 easy. Right. And you talk about, you know, you forget all the luxury tax and all that stuff. But when you got a cap of 150, you could easily pay Quickley. You don't pay him $50 million a year, but you give him $80 million over four or three.
Well, he's definitely making 20 a year. It's the question whether he makes 20 to 25 million to come off the bench to play, but to play 18 minutes a game. That's weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Coach mentioned Tibbs, right, and the system. again, I think that's where the Knicks go sideways. We shouldn't be basing the management of the Knicks shouldn't be basing their decisions on how the coaching philosophies are, because that could switch. Good example, the draft. We didn't draft nobody last year because Tibbs doesn't play any rookies. And guess who got Jaquez, the Heat? And that dude is nice.
Yep.
That dude is nice. He could have been a Knick, you know, easily. It's like, you know, we can't rely on the coaching philosophy because a coach could always get fired. You got to get the best players whenever you can.
I don't think he would be used properly. Like, I don't know if the Knicks are like a destination for a young talent, unless it's somebody like out of this world, like a Derrick Rose, right? Who's just, his talent was just undeniable that first year, his rookie year. Like, he couldn't shit on him. But a guy like Jaquez, or even like the Thompson twins and shit like that, you know.
Disaster
here. It wouldn't work out. And those kids.
I saw him play. He played defense, so he would.
Yeah. Play. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're both equally good, right? But then it's like, you got to give them room to grow, and he's not patient in that regard. Like, he just wants, you know, he feels the pressure of trying to win now. That's what I see.
But all this said, because it's starting to sound negative. Knicks are 12-7. We're fifth in the Eastern Conference. We're in the play-in tournament. We're playing the best ball out of all the teams that are playing right now. Mm-hmm. And our all-star is playing like an all-star.
Yeah,
beat the Bucks.
You know,
beat the Bucks. I think they can beat the Bucks because that game was close. Although
they can beat the Bucks.
The difference between that game and now is that Dame and Giannis have figured out the pick and roll.
They did.
They figured it out, and it's getting.
But Dame still can't guard a paper napkin.
Oh no, he's getting, and it's weird, right? Because in the West, you would think he would have had a harder time, but it's like in the East, they're going at him, and he looks vulnerable, and he's like the hole in their defense. You can see it, like they're trying to mask him. They play him like weak side, or they'll play him on. But all you got to do now in today's NBA. Pick and roll. Now I got the matchup that I want. I want Dame to guard me, you know. And it's, you know, that's what they traded for, though. And I think it's going to be favorable for them because, you know, having Dame in the playoffs is a lot. In the end, you need that shot, right? Holiday wasn't getting them that. So, but Boston and Philly, Philly is the surprise for me, guys.
They're not a surprise.
Philly, no, I gotta be honest. Maxie, man. Maxie is the catalyst right now. Like, and Embiid has taken the more mature approach, you know what I'm saying? Being 28, 29 years old, he's playing like he's not crying. You don't even hear about him talking. He just goes out, puts up.
But his numbers are still like NBA MVP numbers.
Yeah. No,
like Maxie and Embiid fit perfectly. You know, they are aligned versus Harden that was bitching about everything. But Maxie really, he could play, man. And that's another example. Back to quickly, Maxie is quickly's example of giving a person a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. What are you going to say, coach?
I think Harden didn't get enough credit. Like he
sacrificed a lot.
He passed the ball well. Yeah, he sacrificed like a lot from like where he was coming from in Houston to like whatever happened in Brooklyn, and then
he was busted practice by Kyrie Irving. That's what happened.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get a little fat, but I think
Kyrie Irving's busting his ass in practice.
Hopefully, he figures it out. You know, because he still got a lot of game left.
He's towards the end. I think Clippers are his last spot, and I think people keep looking at 2K 14, 15, you know, and he's not that player anymore. He's
annoying. People don't like him. You know, he moved out of situations. The fact that he left Philly, he wanted to get paid. He was gonna get paid. And guess what? The Clippers aren't doing so well with him.
Yeah. Houston gave him everything that he wanted. Everything that he wanted. And he left. I mean, you know, he left them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's Harden's is a great talent, but his time is coming to an end.
And then he's bitching at Maury, but guess what? Maury made him a half a billionaire. You know, all those contracts he got was because of Maury.
Well, he bitched at Maury because Maury reneged on him, which at the end of the day...
Maury reneged because...
He didn't play.
You got to do what's right for your organization. You're playing like shit. You know, you can't play like that.
Yeah, I get it. You know, fellas, great work tonight. Any last words?
Yo, Mitch, you caught one dunk, right? You caught the lob. I think you finished the game with 6 points. Like, come on, Papa, put it together. Like, give me 10. Like, yo, that blew my mind. I looked at the box score at the end of the game. I was like,
yeah.
Figure it out, big man.
Moshi loves that guy.
Pause. I'm on you the whole year. All Moshi right.
Loves 10 that
and 10. 10 and 12.
He should be, but again, they're not. He's great on the pick and roll. He's a rim runner. If you're not doing that, you think he's going to give you a post game? You got the wrong guy.
Get about two or three rebounds and like.
Listen, don't that. Yeah. Hey, you got any last words, my brother?
How about a pick and roll between Brunson and Randall? You guys want to pass to each other? Fine. Let's get the passing assists increase somehow.
You know it's going to be a pick and pop.
Pick and roll.
You know it's going to be a pick and pop.
Give me a pick and roll. One. The most efficient shot in basketball the Knicks don't even use. That all said, 12-7.
Yeah.
In season tournament. Let's make it happen against the Bucks.
The funniest thing is when Brunson has the ball and just watch Julius. He is the most uninterested person. He might as well just sit in the stands, get a popcorn, and just watch the shit develop on his own. Like
his turn, my turn.
He is
and then
so
RJ gets mad. Then RJ, after like not getting the ball for like 12 minutes, he's like, oh, I'm shooting it no matter what happens. I don't care who's there.
Oh, man. I think 2 shows from now, we're going to do a Christmas list special. Make sure to keep that wish on your Christmas list. A Julius Brunson pick and roll. Peace, y'all. Been real. See y'all next
week. Hey, guys.
Yes. Peace.
Have a great week.
The next stop is...